We have been looking now for the past several weeks at the subject of the ingredients. I guess I have called these the secret ingredients of friendship. We teach our children a lot of things. Even the church teaches our children many things, but I can't recall of anybody ever sitting down and teaching me the ingredients to look for in picking another person as my friend. We just go next door, the children next door, or at school or wherever, and we just randomly pick anybody that will be interested or show interest in us to be our friend, which is not wise. We have peer pressure today, which is a great concern of parents. They fear that their children will be influenced by the wrong kind of children, that they will develop the wrong kind of friendships with the wrong group of people, which in turn will corrupt their children's character and morals and so forth. It might be good if we could sit down and teach these ingredients to our children, our young people, even have a test so that the parents would definitely know that the child understands what is important to be looked for in another person and what is important to be looked for in their own life. Not only are we concerned about picking a friend, but we're concerned about someone picking us to be their friend. We have mentioned before the main text is Proverbs 18:24. To have a friend, you must be a friend. Solomon did not tell us how you went about being a friend. And that's what the purpose of this message series is. I am trying to tell you the ingredients that you will need to find a friend and to be a friend. Thus far, we have looked at those ingredients, and you find all of these in the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. These are the ingredients, these are the characteristics that will make you a good friend, and you want to look for in choosing for yourself a friend. Thus far, we have looked at the essential ingredient of joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and meekness. These are the ones that we have already shown you that are to be used in trying to find a suitable friend. We need to be cautious of the people that we run with. We need to be cautious of those who we consider to be potential friends because they will have an influence on our life. I'm not sure whether you'll be able to influence others more than they will influence you. That is a very difficult question to answer. The Bible seems to teach, though, that if you pick a friend who is not a Christian and a friend who does not have very many of the essential ingredients of friendship, that person will have more influence over you than you will have over them. Now, the ingredient we want to look at today is known as goodness. Goodness. Right off, there are people who say this is probably one of the most destructive traits that I could develop in my life. I mean, it will drive people from me. It will make it impossible for me to have any friends. I will be disliked because of this quality of goodness. I'll be shunned. I'll be ridiculed. I'll be made fun of. And today we have those who come under attack by being called do-gooders. It seems that no one wants to be brand Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. And so as you look for the ingredients of a friend, many say, well, I'll just cross this one out. I don't think this was important. And if I apply this one to my life, nobody will want me. And if I apply this one to the lives of other people, I probably never will find me a friend. Implying that there are no real good people with the quality of goodness. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. The quality of goodness, you don't run across many people having this quality in their life. And if you do, well, you'll never have any fun with them. I mean, your life will be ruined if you marry a person that has conquered evil and corruption and has pursued a life of goodness. Many of us see goodness as a trait that is desirable for a friend. Psalms 25:8, good and upright is the Lord. Now, do you want to be a friend of the Lord? Then the Lord is looking for that quality in me called goodness. And if I go to the Lord and search for Him as my friend, well, then one of His characteristics, one of His ingredients, one of His traits would be goodness. Would you say that disqualifies Him from being a very good friend of yours? You say, yeah, but why to be on pins and needles around him? I mean, I feel uncomfortable around God. That is an ingredient that God has that bothers me. Well, would you like for God to be like the devil and be bad and be evil? You say, well, no. Well, you can't have it both ways. God claims that he is good. Good is the Lord. That is, he's filled with the quality of goodness. Now, let me say this. When it comes to God picking me as a friend, this is not a negotiable ingredient. This is not something that is optional. If I'm going to be a friend of God, I must display in my life the ingredient of goodness. Psalms 34:14. Depart from evil, do good. That's clear. Psalms 37:27. Again, it says the same thing. Depart from evil and do good. We have this repetitious of these two verses. Depart from evil. Pursue a course of goodness. And so God places goodness at the top of the list of things that he wants to find in his redeemed friends. Titus 2, verse 14. Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all sin and that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people. He said, well, yeah, I don't want to be peculiar. Nobody want me to be their friend. God will. Yeah, but I'm looking for a man friend and a woman friend. Well, there are those out there, folks, that have pursued the characteristic of goodness also. And he says here, I will purify unto myself a peculiar people. As you go seeking a friend, you're going to be seeking someone who is peculiar. In this regard, they are concerned about goodness in their life. What is goodness? They are zealous of good works. They'll be good for me. These people will. Their company will be good for me. Their words to me will be good for me. Their suggestions to me will be good for me. And so Christ says here that he redeems us, makes us peculiar, and that peculiarity is that we shall be zealous or enthusiastic to do good works, to display the characteristics of goodness. 2 Timothy 13, verse 15 and 16 and 17. He says, you from a child, Timothy, have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, or thoroughly equipped, thoroughly schooled in this matter of goodness, or scriptures are able to make thee a wise friend. These last two would be paraphrases. And so a true friend will be a person who is interested in collecting the commandments of God. Sometimes we are drawn to somebody because they are involved in the same kind of collections that we have, whether it be cards or, I don't know, some kind of collection, some kind of hobby, some kind of interest, trains or something else. But what you want to do is find a person who collects God's commandments, treasures God's commandments, has a whole display in their mind of God's commandments. They're a walking, talking, breathing encyclopedia on the commandments of the Lord, because it's the commandments that give directions towards what is good and bad, thus what would be goodness. A person who has as their desire to master goodness, who would know good from evil and right from wrong. Now, whether you realize it or not, when you pursue another person as your friend, you are opening yourself up to their influence, and they're going to do the same thing for you. And so if I have the quality of goodness, that gives unto me a vision that a non-Christian won't have. That is, it gives unto me a spiritual vision. This is what the Bible says, do not seek out as your closest friend an unbeliever. Every Christian has the potential of all the fruit of the Spirit. Now, whether or not they're living up to that potential is another question, which also should be considered when you begin to pick even from Christian friends or Christian potential friends. And so a Christian, from the perspective of salvation and conversion and new birth, he has a double vision. He sees more than your natural physical needs. He also sees you have spiritual needs. Not only does he see you have a body, but he also knows and realizes you have a soul. And that is a concern to him also. Not just making you happy and pleased physically, but he also wants to make you happy and pleased spiritually. Both of these things are important to him. Now the unbeliever, he has no concern about your soul because he has no concern about his own. He has no concern about your relationship to God. He has no real knowledge of what sin can do. He has no idea what the commandments of the Lord are regarding hardly anything. And probably wouldn't agree with them if he did. He doesn't worry about getting in trouble. He doesn't worry about getting you in trouble. He has no real apprehension about defiling your conscience as his is defiled, or your character, or filling your mind and heart full of grief and guilt due to sin, which he won't even have because he's not a Christian. And so the Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, be ye separate from the evildoer. Why? Because they don't care about your spiritual life. And so an unsaved person immediately is disqualified on the area of goodness. They just cannot and will not have this ingredient. And this is very important for your safety, for your spiritual safety. So every person cannot be a potential good friend to you. First question is, are they a believer? Next question is, if they're a believer, are they an obedient believer? Who are allowing the Holy Spirit to cultivate these potential ingredients in their life of the fruit of the Spirit. For you see, if you do not have a potential of goodness in this person that you're choosing for a friend, they're going to get you in trouble right off with God. They'll talk you out of church. They'll talk you out of holy living. They'll talk you out of holy talking. They'll talk you into going to places you oughtn't go, seeing things you should not see, saying things you should not say, thinking things you should not think, and reading things you should not read. They will get you in trouble with God. They'll encourage you to disobey your Heavenly Father. That's going to get you in trouble. They don't care. They're already in trouble with God. They'll lure you onto a pathway that'll bring you into judgment. They'll expose you to God's wrath against evil. They'll get you in some evil deed, and then God's wrath will fall upon that evil deed. You're going to get caught. They'll promote in your life that which is, in its end result, is going to bring harm to you. They're not safe to be around. Goodness makes a person safe. If you go out with a young man or a girl, and he is in his life controlled by this fruit called goodness, you don't have to worry about your morality. You don't have to worry about what that boy's going to do to you. He is safe. It's as though you're walking out and going out with God. You're safe because that person is to be, he'll be a good friend to you. There's no danger from that person. He's not going to do things that God says you must not, cannot, should not do that. He won't do it. Why? Because he is controlled in his life by the desire of goodness. He'll look at you and say, I want to display goodness towards you. Other folks could be very dangerous to you, and you could not trust them. With goodness, you can trust this person to do the very best they know to be the will of God in any situation that they are concerned about. He'll not get you into sin. He'll not, in a sense, get you into trouble. His goal is to keep you out of trouble with God. He's not going to encourage you to walk with the devil. He's going to encourage you to walk with the Lord. And he'll lead in that direction, or she will too. If that's not the kind of person that you see this person to be, that you're thinking about making your friend, forget it. Forget it. That's why the Bible says, walk not with these people. So if a person has goodness, they're going to be concerned about, if they can, helping you gain God's blessings. You gain God's favors. You gain God's smiles. I mean, they'll benefit you. They'll get God to do things for you. They won't be a stumbling block. They won't be a snare in your life. They won't be a tempter. They won't promote evil thoughts and acts and deeds in your life. They won't do that. And that's why you want to seek this as an ingredient in the ones that you pick. Goodness guarantees that they will protect your soul. They'll defend your faith. They'll promote your righteousness. They'll desire your goodness. In other words, they want to help you get good grades. Every day with God, they want to help you get good grades on Judgment Day. They want to help you, promote you. Now, that's the kind of person you want to be a friend. Not somebody who will pull you down and say, well, if you don't do this with me, I'm not going to be your friend. We'll say goodbye, 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 hallelujah, goodbye. You don't need a friend that'll drag you into sin. That rhyme, by the way. You don't need a friend that'll take you into sin. You don't want that kind of person. I'm not going to do you any favors to introduce you to Eve. Eve did Adam no favor by introducing him to say, hey, take a bite of this fruit, Adam. I mean, if she'd have been controlled by goodness, she'd never taken the fruit and she'd never offered it to him. He could say, well, thanks a lot. But it was his fault too. So goodness says, I'm not going to give my friend something that God forbids to me and God forbids to them. I'm not going to do that. I'm not that kind of person. Why? Because they're controlled by goodness in their heart. Now, does goodness enable me to know what is bad for people? It also enables me to know what is good for people. Thus, I will, because of goodness, try to give my friend, whoever I make my friend, some benefits of their association and friendship with me. I'll try to help them find a happier life. I'll try to help them have peace. I'll try to help them find favor with God. I'll try to help them avoid temptations, be free of guilt, overcome dangers. In other words, I'll do my best to help them. Now, wouldn't you like to have a person like that for a friend? Proverbs 3:1, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. The commandments of God will not be in the heart of the unsaved. The heart of the carnal Christian also will not be concerned about the commandments. You want to find somebody that's concerned about collecting God's commandments and be very skeptical. Just because they, quote, claim, I belong to the church, I'm a Christian, you're looking for ingredients, folks, not labels. So, I believe in Jesus. Great. You're looking for fruit. You're looking for ingredients. If you don't find them there, you be very cautious, even though they claim to be a Christian. Because goodness is concerned with the commands and the laws of God. And they are regarded as good. Good for the person and good for you. Now, goodness will make me considerate. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You want to help somebody walk in the paths. And if others say, I'm not going to walk that way, then that, folks, that disqualifies them for close friendship. You can be kind to them. You can be concerned with them. You can help them. But I mean, they are not qualified to be close friends of yours. Goodness ensures I'll do everything I can to keep God on the side of my friend. Amos 5:14-15. Seek God, not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil, love good, and establish judgment in the gate, that it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. In other words, you do this, and God will bless them. Goodness gives me direction for my life and gives me insight into what direction I should help somebody else have in their life. And as a result of their following that direction, they're going to get the goodness and blessings and favor of God upon their life. I'm going to be a real asset to them. They're going to get a lot more presence and a lot more gifts and a lot more goodness and a lot more advantages from the Lord just because they know me. Now, folks, that's pretty good. You're going to get more from God for them because of your concern for them. I'll not lead them astray. That's going to cost them what God would like to give them. But instead, I'll do my best to promote a righteousness in their life, a goodness in their life, and that automatically is going to result in God giving them good things. I'm not only promoting goodness in them, I am promoting God's blessing of that goodness upon them. And so as a friend controlled by goodness, I'm constantly going to ask the question about what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do or suggest. Is it good? Is it lawful? Is it right in my God's sight? Always. And those who are not interested in what is good in God's sight, folks, folks are not going to be trustworthy friends. They're not going to be good. They're not going to bring God's blessing to you. And then there's one other benefit that I think a good friend, controlled by goodness, can bring to their friend. Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtains favor of the Lord. Now notice, a good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will God condemn. Now, which one would you want to be your friend? A good man obtains favors of the Lord. If you ever want to ask your friend to pray for you, it's done all the time. We even ask strangers to pray for us. We'll ask anybody to pray for us, which is good. But what you want is somebody who'll pray for you and get results. That's not everybody, right? If you have a friend who is motivated by goodness in their life, it's the prayer of a righteous man that what? Avails much. You want a friend that can pray to God who won't have his prayer blocked because they're sinning his life. If I'm in trouble with God, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be able to help you very much in your trouble by praying. Until I get my life straightened out, until I get goodness established in my life, until I pursue a course of goodness myself, I'm not going to really be much help to you because I'm not going to be able to get my prayers answered. There is a thing blocking the answer, and that is I lack goodness. I can pray and pray and pray, but it's not going to do a whole lot of good because it's the prayer of a righteous man, a man pursuing the life of goodness that God says, I will honor his prayer. If I regard sin in my heart, not give it up. If I choose an evil path over a good path, and I know it, the Bible says the Lord's not going to hear my prayer. So when you say, pray for me, you know, that's great. But what you really want is somebody to pray for you to get some answers, not just speak words. Psalms 34:15-16. The eye of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Goodness is a very important ingredient of friendship.